Well, good morning, everybody. It's really good to see you. And we've got this amazing subject this morning of the Great Commission, which has been read out for us. And it's all about some of Jesus' last words before he goes back to heaven. In actual fact, this week, on the 26th, what day will it be? Ascension Day, come on now. I started going out with my wife about years ago on Ascension Day. There we are, you should all know it. Okay, so Ascension Day. And the disciples there were commissioned to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And then there was this reassurance then that this was not just about the disciples, but they had authority from Jesus to go and make disciples. And then there was that wonderful reassurance: go, I am with you always to the end of the age. And right at the beginning of Matthew, you will all know and remember that Jesus was called, right at the very beginning in chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, Emmanuel, God with us. And this chapter ends with that same thought: I am always with you. So get that message this morning, that God is with us, that Emmanuel is with us to help us to bring the good news of Jesus to other people. So the next slide, please. So there are two promises and five commands. And as I've already said, Jesus was given authority. And then he passed that authority on to his disciples then and to us now, so that we go in Jesus' name and his authority to make disciples. But then we have five commandments. Notice they are commandments, not do you want to do this? Don't you want to do this, church? You know, if you've got nothing else to do tomorrow afternoon, come along. No, these are commands. This is what God really wants us to do. And it says, go, because I am sending you. Now, go means go. And I'm told that in Greek, go means go. I've no idea whether it says it in Greek or not. Speak to Tim afterwards, he'll tell us whether it means or not, okay? So the first command is to go. The second is to make disciples of all nations. And I discovered there's about 16,000 nations. So we've got a bit of work to do, you know what I mean, tomorrow afternoon, and to get on with it. Then when we've made some disciples, then we need to baptize them. Unfortunately, we did that last week. So if you weren't here, you missed that. But we baptized some people last week, and it was so exciting to see people publicly proclaiming Jesus. And then we need to tell them, because we baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to tell people about that and to help them to become better disciples, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then a little bit of a difficult problem then, we have to go on and teach them to obey everything. Now, I think I'm struggling with that a bit as well, you know, as a disciple, to actually obey everything. But we're to teach people to obey. And then the second promise comes in after we've done all that. And that reassurance is that we don't do this on our own. It's not all to do with us, it's to do with God, Jesus being with us and enabling us to do that. What a job description, huh? Go home and get that sorted. How are we going to fulfill those commands? Well, what you need to know really is that we are like apprentices. And I remember when I was young, and you were even younger, and I went into this massive workshop, it was called Crofts Engineers, just up the road here at Dudley Hill, and I walked into this place, and it was a place probably four times bigger than this, and it was filled with machinery making such an awful noise. I was frightened to death, and there I stood, and I was told I had to learn how to operate this machinery. And it just frightens you to death. And you go in, and I remember putting this great big casting in the machine about this big. And it started to spin round, and I put this tool in and started to cut it. And I hadn't put it in hard enough, and it flew out of the machine and fell into the bed of the machine with a great big crash. And then half the factory stops when you do that as an apprentice, and they cheer and clap. Say, yeah, good lad, what a great job you've done. And I made a few mistakes. And as we learn as disciples, as apprentices, we might make a few mistakes on the way through. But don't worry. That's what an apprentice is all about. That's what a disciple is all about. We're learning how to do this. So everything I'm going to say now, what I want to say to you, you don't have to do it all at once. And you're going to make a few mistakes, and we're going to get it wrong. But that's okay. It doesn't stop you being an apprentice. It doesn't stop you being a disciple. You need to get on and do it and learn, and we'll get better and better as we go. Because our model, which is our next slide, is from Jesus. Because we know that everybody wanted Jesus to rule and take things by force, get them Romans out of here. They wanted Jesus to be more of a somebody who would war and position himself at the top of the ladder to show people who was boss. But we know that Jesus was born in a humble stable, that he loved people, that he healed people, that he taught people to forgive each other. He told them the first would be last. Jesus spent time with people no one wanted to know. The tax collector, the sinner, the leper. Jesus included the widow who only had 2 pennies. The child who only had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The woman who was caught in adultery. By the way, nobody's found the man yet. And he talked about lost sheep and lost sons and much more. And that's our model. That's the person who we look at. And he was a great disciple maker, and we need to follow his example. Jesus is a good disciple maker. Well, what is the message that we want to give? And this is our next slide. What is the message that we want to give? Well, this is the message. Is it quite big up there? It is. Well, let's stand and let's read out this message together, because this is what we want to proclaim as disciples of Jesus. So let's try this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thank you. Do be seated. So this is the message that we want to get out there. That God loves the world. God loves people. And he didn't send Jesus to have a go at it and condemn it, but he sent Jesus to save the world. And that's the message that we want to get out. And I know it's not as simple as that. And I know there's a lot more to say about that. But often, as ministers, one of the things we often do and say in services, we remind people of God's love constantly, because we forget, as Tim said at the beginning of the service, who we are, that we're loved by God. For God so loved the world. And so it's important that we recognise that this is the message. I don't know about you, but at this point I'm ready to go. I'm fired up. I've been told, that it's for me to do this great commission. And I'm sure that really what God's really saying to me is that I ought to go across the sea. That probably I ought to be in Hawaii this morning. You haven't told me yet that you all ought to be helping me to do that. And I could do with about £5,000 at the end of the service. And I'll fly off to be a missionary in Hawaii. And I'll just stay there and have a few weeks holiday. And I'll try and convert a few people. But I'm only an apprentice, so if we don't get anywhere, it's okay. And then I'll come back. maybe it's after Christmas, or maybe it's next year sometime when the nice weather's come back. But I think the only problem is there's very, very few people that get called abroad to be missionaries. But don't discount it, because maybe God does want to take you abroad to do some work for him. But I'm afraid for most of us, the calling this morning is, you just need to go next door to your neighbour. You just need to speak to the person in the desk that you work, where you work, or the person on the shop floor in the factory. Not many of us are called to go abroad, but we're called to make disciples here. Your neighbour, your work colleague, your friend, your family. Some very educated person, not me, has looked at Matthew, Mark, Luke and John to see where Jesus met people. And Jesus met people, first of all, he met six people in the temple. Jesus met four people in a synagogue. Jesus met 122 people in everyday life. Jesus met Zacchaeus up a tree. This afternoon when you're walking around Bolling Park, keep looking up, there might be a Zacchaeus up there. Tell him to come down, because you're going to have tea with him. There was a woman at a well. There was Matthew in the tax office. There was a woman having serious period pains. There was lots of guests at a wedding. There was a man whose daughter was very ill. There was a woman caught in adultery. There was Nicodemus at night. So the question is, where do you meet people? Where do I meet people? And then maybe as we ask this question, which is the next slide. What me, my life, make a difference? Wow. Can I make a difference? Can your life make a difference? It's really strange, isn't it? To the world, you might just be another person, but to one person, you will be the world. There was a guy called D.L. Moody, and he was a really bit of a whiz kid at being an evangelist. And he tells this story, and I don't know if it's just a story or what, but it's a good story. And he tells this story about a man crossing the Atlantic Sea by ship. And one night, as he was confined to his cabin with seasickness, he heard the cry, "Man overboard!" He felt, there was nothing he could do because he was vomiting all the time and feeling so ill. But he said to himself, "I can at least put my lantern in the porthole." And he struggled to his feet and he hung the lantern there. Maybe it would shine out in the darkness. The next day, he learned that the person had been rescued. And the man said that had been overboard, he said this, "I was going down in the darkness for the last time when someone put a light in the porthole. And as it shone on my hand, a sailor grabbed my hand and pulled me in." And this man thought he could do nothing at all. And all he did was hang his light in the porthole and saved one man's life. How can we go and make disciples? How can we go here this morning? And the next slide is here. And what we need to do is we need to keep it simple, as simple as we can. And I hope I can try and explain it to you in a very simple way. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to care and we need to share. We need to pray, we need to care, and we need to share. So first of all, let's look at prayer. And it's the next slide, please. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. You see, we need to be very intentional about this. It needs to be a choice in your life and in my life today to pray. And I want to suggest that maybe it's each and every one of us, maybe it's let's just choose something that would be really good with the maths. 10 people that we could start and begin to pray for. Do you know 10 people that you could begin to pray for? Not particularly Christians at the moment, maybe family, friends, work colleagues, but 10 people that you could pray for. I think there must be about 75 people left in here now, do you think, Tim? So, I can do the maths, you just add a note on the end, don't you? That 750 people we're all praying for. That would be amazing, wouldn't it, if we prayed for 750 people. Amazing. I want you to pray for them every day. Pray in English. If you speak in tongues, pray in tongues. If you speak Farsi, pray in Farsi. What should you pray? What we've already been praying this morning. Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in their lives. Lord, bless them. Meet their needs. Prosper their work. Bless their business. Do you think that will make a difference? I think it'll make a difference. Or maybe what you need to do is do some prayer walking. There's a whole thing, isn't there, here at the moment. Tim sent out some stuff about your kingdom come and praying down the streets. If you live in East Bowling, we've mapped the streets out and we can walk down. Wherever you live, you can go and pray down your street. But prayer. Let me share with you what happens when you pray. Before I go to work as a hospital chaplain, Margaret will pray for me. And it's really a romantic moment. She holds my hand and she prays that God will give me the right words to say and that people will meet with God. So off I go onto the wards. Margaret's prayed. And by the way, I'm not allowed to talk about my faith or pray with people unless they ask. So I walk onto this ward, I walk into this bay of four beds. I go, good morning everybody, how are you today? My name's Chris, I'm a hospital chaplain. And usually I get, that's a stupid question to ask the chaplain. Because most of them have got a great big pot on the leg, or they're wired all over and they can't move. And we all laugh and I do a runner. No, we don't really. But I did this one morning and as I walked onto the ward, you know, I did the usual thing, blah, 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 blah. You get used to it, I'm afraid. And then, but one person, before I opened my mouth, said, I've already prayed today, chaplain, but I'm sorry, I've been praying for myself. I know it's selfish and I shouldn't pray for myself, but I do believe, I am a believer, and I've been, I've been baptised and things like that. And so I just sat back, and there was a little windowsill, so I parked my bum, I better be careful that I don't do up. And I just parked my bum there, and she just told the whole little group of people that were in this little group of people, and the staff were coming in as well, all about her faith. And she says, I'm not going to apologise for it, because this is what I really believe, and it really helped. And so I said, preach it, woman, preach it. I said, no, I didn't, because I'm not allowed to say that neither. But it was just amazing. And I believe that was definitely an answered prayer, because we prayed and we asked God that something would happen. So what I recommend is you all come and hold Margaret's hand before you go. She'll pray for you and you'll be all right, you see. She's knowing no else this afternoon, so you know what I mean. No, your prayers. God will answer your prayers. It is wonderful. And let me just say to you that often we do pray. And to be honest, every time we pray, I have these God instances at the hospital. And I'm able to share the good news of Jesus with people. It's really important that we do that. So those 10 people that you're praying for, have them round for coffee. Take them to a coffee shop. Get to know them. Why? Because God loves them. And you should love them enough to introduce them to Jesus. What I want to say to you is, we know we're not trying to get bums on seats. We don't want to have lots of bums on seats because, you know, and walk in next Sunday morning saying, well, I got a few trophies this week, you know, I prayed for this lady and she's now here. And it's not about that. It's that God's love compels us to go and tell them the good news of Jesus. And we need to do that because of God's love. Not just to get a trophy and bring them to church. Have a meal with them. Send them a birthday card. I think take a leaf out of Abby's book. Have a party. Help people enjoy themselves. Christians, you know, can be so boring. I know. I am one. Yvonne, you laugh too loud then, love. All right, you know what I mean? I know I'm a bit boring with my tweed jacket on and things, you know. When these people are ill, pray for them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Lend them your lawnmower. You'll never see it again. But if you never see it again, just go round and cut the grass for them. See, because most people don't become Christians overnight, but gradually. Some people, you know, are like, start at minus 10. They're way over here. They might even be atheists. But as we love them, as we show them God's love, we can bring them nearer and nearer to God. So a person I've been praying for years ago now, I spent a lot of time with this person and been praying. It was definitely minus 10. As I started to speak to him, Chris, you need to know I don't believe and I don't want you to talk about faith. And only a few weeks ago now he said to me, Chris, I've started to trust God. I've started to ask God to help me. I've started to get to know him a little bit. And I'm thinking, yes. Because it's been years. So that person that was minus 10 is now plus 2 or 3. Where are your friends and family? Where are those 10 people on that scale? Are they minus 10 or just 0? Or where are they? It's important. I think I've just skipped over, haven't I? From praying to caring. So we'll have the next slide. You see, this is where we should be. So I've just missed caring out. So it's praying, caring, and then we need to move on to sharing now. Sorry about that. Got too excited there, didn't I? So sharing. So here we have Nicodemus that comes to see Jesus at night. And he came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can perform the signs that you are doing if they are not from God. And Jesus replied, I tell you truly that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You see, Nicodemus was on a journey, was ready for us, for Jesus to share with him. You see, because as we pray and we care, then one of the things we need to do is to check to see if these people are ready to be picked. Is the harvest ready? Is it right? You know, because some people are not ready. And we try and just gently say to them, you know, hell, fire and damnation. That don't work, okay? It's part of the truth, but it don't work, okay? Because they're not ready yet. And I'm only joking about the hellfire, and you should never start there. But, you know, some people are not even ready to receive and know about God's love and God's care for them. They're not ready yet. So let's not push it. Let's not drive them away by trying to do that. So we need to make sure that their fruit is ready. They're ready to hear about God's love. We need to be ready to share, though, the real gospel of Jesus Christ, going back to for God so loved the world, and that he didn't come to judge the world or to condemn it, but to that they might be saved through it. But here's an example for us, and that is from John chapter 4, and it's our next slide, which is here. Yeah, stop for the one. Jesus did this in John 4. Jesus met a woman at the well. Or the photocopier, or the staff kitchen. Jesus met this woman at the well. And they were completely different, Jew and Samaritan, man and woman. They didn't even talk to each other. What they both had in common, though, was they needed a drink. And so they talk about water. Give me a drink, Jesus asks. The woman gets involved in this conversation. She's drawn in. And right at the beginning of the conversation, she calls Jesus a Jew. Now, Jews and Samaritans were not really happy with each other. In fact, it would be a bit disgusting, because when she possibly said the word, she might have spit at the same time. There was so much enemy. So he said, Jew, because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. But as the conversation goes on, if you read it in John chapter 4, you'll see that she then starts calling him Sir. And then later on, she perceives he's a prophet. And then right at the end, she sees he is the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus stops to talk to one woman, and many, many Samaritans become Christians. And it says this, we no longer believe, because she's called all her friends to come and meet Jesus, we no longer believe just because of what you said. We have now heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. Stop for the one. You know, we can't, it's impossible for us to care and love everybody. But we can start with one, can't we? Stop for the one and tell them about Jesus. As we pray and care and begin to share God's love with people, if they're ready, we need to begin to invite them. Maybe invite them to your small group or to church next week or the next Alpha course. What about sharing your testimony? What's your good news story? Pray, care, share, make disciples. Remember that people don't become Christians overnight, that they're on a journey. But nevertheless, they need to know you. This morning, it's disciples that make disciples. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a disciple? Because if you are a disciple, you need to make disciples. And if you're not a disciple this morning, I just want to simply say to you, God loves you. God loves you. But he loves you enough to say to you, there are things wrong in your life that you need to know that you've got it wrong sometimes. And you need to know my forgiveness. And you need to acknowledge that you've got it wrong. And when you acknowledge that and ask Jesus into your life and give your life to Jesus, then you become a disciple yourself. And I wonder this morning if you've made that decision, because you can make that decision right now to become a disciple, and then you can go on to make others a disciple. And at the end of this service, there'll be an opportunity to come and chat to me or Tim or other people, just to make it clear that you definitely are a disciple and that you're following Jesus. Because he wants you to become a disciple. I come back to those things there, to keep it simple. Keep it simple, to pray, to care, and to share, and bring the good news. And finally, now go and make disciples. Let's pray. Lord, we do just want to say that we love you this morning, and we praise you, and we worship you. We want to thank you for that great commission that you've given to us, Lord, the fact that you've called us, Lord, and you've given us authority to go and make disciples. Lord, help us to do what you've commanded us to do. Remind us constantly, Lord, that you are with us always to the end of the age. And Lord, help us to go and make disciples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.